This is a RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from the Golf Club of Houston for the Shell Houston Open. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel and Barry from the beautiful sunshine, blistering deck of the craft beer center.
The deck. Like it's a ship. The USS Drunkards.
That's right.
Over here. We know what all these
Captain
people are
Stubing
into.
Captain Stubing is here enjoying a cold beverage and some food. Judge Judy just had to get back to work. She was here for a while. And we are here having a great time. We came inappropriately dressed. The two of us together probably could have made up half of a golfer, but we're not now. But we're comfortable, and you should be too. Whether you're in your car or listening to us at work or, of course, here at the Open, we are enjoying some beautiful sunshine. We've said this is like a college class when the professor decides, hey, let's take class outside today. Yes, sir, can we have another? Let's do that.
I am going to be so burned. I don't tan easy. I burn easy.
Really?
Yeah, I burn easy. But usually by the end of the summer, I'm all right because I spend a lot of time out in the yard.
Okay.
But that first month, it's bad.
And, you are a gardener.
And I didn't wear any sunscreen today, so it's going to be bad.
Who knew? Who knew what we were walking when we come out here?
I thought this was
sunscreen.
A classy place where they were going to put
Look
us up in
man.
A nice
this is
building.
What golfers
Look
do.
At you.
This is why you should golf more.
You're a gentleman and a scholar, sir. I appreciate you. Now, what did you actually put in here?
That's
the question.
Do.
What am I going to be smearing on my body, sir?
Great golfers are just great high-quality
right
people, and that's what golfers do for other golfers. You don't get that when you hang out at the bowling alley.
But do you trust him?
You don't get that at the croquet club. You get that from golfers. That's beautiful.
I don't know that I trust what's in here, though.
Oh, my God.
Like, and I have no idea what I'm about to smear all over my body.
You guys have no idea. This is the Howie Mandel and Matt Lauer of germaphobes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Instead of being thankful, he's worried about getting venereal warts from suntan lotion. This is the kind of thing we deal with.
Wow. He went all the way to venereal warts.
I just thought of something off the chain
What's on your mind, Joel? You got anything you want to discuss?
I got a pain in the ass, but it happens to be an ingrown hair. I thought it was something worse. I'm going to be okay.
Jeez.
I went on WebMD. At first, they thought I was going to have to lance it. Now it seems like it's going to go away on its own. So I'm good.
You really worked up today.
Well, I didn't have enough caffeine.
You're wound up.
It's fun.
You are wound up. I see that. I think we have a call.
Oh, that's right. Tyler wants to chime in on the dad with the sign to shame his kid. Tyler, what's up,
guys? Man, y'all are on my side of town, dude. Y'all are right down the street from Kingwood.
What's up, man? Welcome to our HR&P listener line.
I wanted to call in and talk about the guy that held up a sign, man. I'm a parent. I'm a young parent. I'm a millennial with a child. It'll be actually 5 on Saturday.
Happy birthday.
I just wanted to call in, man. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with keeping your kid at home because they did not pass. Now, the people that are saying, you know, oh, that's cruel and unusual punishment, they probably don't have kids. Second of all, you know, if they do have kids, their kids are probably wrapped in bubble wrap, you know, I don't know if you guys ever seen, was it Little Giants, the kid wrapped in bubble wrap? You know, like the nerdy kid, that type of
right.
Effect, you know. But, man, there's nothing wrong with it, dude. And anybody that says there is that's probably a millennial, you know, somebody like my age that, you know, is, or on their first kid. Like with me, I'm, you know, of course I'm protective of my child, but, you know, man, that's not cruel and unusual punishment or anything like that. That is 100% well-deserved. And I'm sure my parents would have done the same thing to me if I didn't keep my grades up. You know, my kid doesn't go to school yet or anything like that. But, I mean, if he gets a bad report back from, you know, from preschool, then, I mean, it's not like you punish them, you know, after the fact because they're so young. But, I mean, as they're older, dude, there's nothing wrong with that, man. Not at all. I just wanted to see what you guys had to say.
No, I'm with you on that, man. I mean, dude, this isn't Mommy Dearest, right? Like, he's not whooping the kid with wire hangers.
Right.
He didn't take him to a Cavs game and then rubbed it in his face because he was being a dumbass at school and he needs to get his grades up. There's nothing wrong with that.
But let me tell you something. As a parent of an 18-month-old, nothing makes me cringe more than thinking about society that we live in today when they get to the age when you have to discipline them. Because, you know, you take the Adrian Peterson case, you take all these different cases, and then everybody's chiming in with, you know, how you were raised. when you're the biggest fear that I have is whatever Lisa and I decide how we're going to discipline our children, you're going to be judged by the neighbors. You're going to be judged by, you know, even to the point of we say this, but kids nowadays, I've had friends of mine tell me about their teenage kids.
Thank you,
say,
sir.
Go ahead, Dad, lay your hands on me, and then watch me call this agency or call these people and report you to child services. And you're like, it's so night and day different from when we grew up that you don't want to sound like the old fuddy-duddy and say back when we were young. But at the same time, you have to be downright scared as a parent when you want to discipline your child nowadays. I don't think there's anything wrong with that sign. And I'm telling you that when his friends at school the next day go, man, your dad was in the front row for a Cavs game and you could have been there and all you had to do was pass your class? That's brutal.
Yeah, that's it's kind of silly. Hey, thanks for coming out, guys. Yeah, it is. It's kind of silly, man.
Have a great day.
I don't know. I don't have kids, so I'm not going to sit here and talk about, you know, how I would discipline my kids. I just think if I had kids, I would do something like that and not think twice. And if anybody had anything to say, I mean, that's their business, you know. I mean, he's not hurting the kid.
So next big sporting event you go to, bring a sign that says to your cats,
yeah,
that if your cats would stop throwing up and peeing in the house, that they would be there with you too.
I'll do that.
That
I'm totally going to do that. Yeah.
It'd be nice if you could bring them out here today.
Yeah, I'm going to bring an 18-year-old cat out in the sun.
Hanging out in the
that
sun.
Makes
under
sense,
the table.
Joel.
Sure, why
that
not? They're outside.
That makes a ton of sense,
They get to see
Joel.
Dad work today.
That makes a ton of sense. You would me with two cats and you with 70 dogs.
Judge Judy's back.
Wouldn't we be sweet? Wouldn't we be a cute couple?
Judge Judy just made a return visit in front of the TV. She's pacing now. She will be back occasionally to say hello between cases.
Why are you being mean to the lady?
It's just fun,
why
man.
Are you being mean
it's
to
not
the
mean.
Lady?
It's not mean. It's entertaining.
All right.
See? People agree with me. Am I right? We're going doppelgangers today. See? There you go. All right. Barry, your turn.
No, I'm not participating in that. I'm not doing that. No. That's not nice. They're right here. You may have hurt
it's
that lady's
soul.
You may have
hurt
that lady's soul. She may be crushed.
She can change shoes. The soles will be fine. I'm telling you right now. It's not a bad deal.
All right.
All right, so Tyler chimed in. If anybody else wants to join us on the show, 713-780-ESPN. Text us, call us, hit us up on Twitter. You can hit us today, and we probably will see it tomorrow or tonight because we can't see our computer screens because the sun is that. But it is a gorgeous day out here at the Golf Club of Houston as we are all soaking in the sunshine, and the first round is underway of the Shell Houston Open where Ricky Fowler has gone low. He is 8-under. We have Ricky Fowler, orange, only in hair color, not in the shirt, but she's a big fan of the Rickster. And if you need to see more Ricky, he's throwing out the first pitch tonight at Minute Maid when the Astros host the Cubs in preseason baseball as well. There you go. You did not know that. All right. So Barry and Joel from the deck out here behind the 17th green of the Craft Beer Center at the Shell Houston Open. Nick back at the fort keeping headquarters clean. And we're doing it all for you as the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Golf Club of Houston for the Shell Houston Open. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel and Barry from the Shell Houston Open, right behind the 17th green, where we are basking in the beautiful sunshine, taking in some cool breezes. And if we look over our shoulder, we can catch some golf action as well. Nick back at headquarters holding down the fort. And lots of good people of Houston and the surrounding areas entertaining us as well as we are entertaining them, having some fun out here watching some golf. We've touched on a couple of topics that have been hot buttons for people. So you, Barry, with the Matt Barnes-Pat Beverly fight, who you got, fired up some people. So Damon's on the HRNP listener line. He wants to get in here. Damon, what do you got?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
You guys must be inside of me and my partner's conversations when y'all brought up Pat Beverly. I think Pat Beverly is the most overrated player in the league. I don't even think he belongs in the NBA. And it's not about where you from to be tough. It's about where you at. People from the south side of Chicago and got their ass whipped before, too, if I can say ass. But
you can say
it's
ass.
Not where
you
at.
Did.
And I also just wanted to comment. I had called in the other day when we were talking about the rest thing, but I didn't get to get through. And see, I think it's levels to this thing. And the Rockets are only worried about getting James Harden an MVP, while other teams are focusing on winning championships. The Rockets are just focused on getting James Harden an MVP. And the audacity of Patrick Beverley to comment on rest, when you're barely in the league by the skin of your teeth, you don't have – nobody comes to the games to see Patrick Beverley. How dare him comment about rest. But basically, I just want to say it's not about where you're from to be tough. It's about where you at. And the Rockets are only interested in winning James Harden an MVP and not a championship. I rarely hear James Harden talk about winning a championship or going deep in the playoffs. I only hear him lobbying for himself to win an MVP. And there's levels to this, and I think the Rockets are stuck in regular season championship mode. You got Patrick Beverley running around the court talking about he first-team defense. I went back and looked. I never seen Patrick Beverley on first-team defense. But they just caught up in regular season accolades and not championships or titles.
Appreciate the call, Damon. Joel, I'll let you go first.
No, it's all right. I'm going to defer to you. I was going to ask if he has kids, if Pat Beverley posters are all over the walls of their bedrooms, because it seems like he's the captain of the Pat Beverley fan club.
Yeah, I don't know where the hate comes from. I think you can watch if you watch the Rockets games night in and night out, I think you can see who the two players are that make that team go for different reasons. I think it's obvious that James Harden is the leader of that team, and he, you know, offensively. But I'm telling you now, you can't deny the fact that Patrick Beverley, when he wants to get things going and start to turn a game around, single-handedly he's been able to do that on multiple occasions. Is he first-team defense? I don't know. I think he's one of the better defenders in the league on the perimeter. I think you can go back and see that he has won games with his defense for this team, and we've talked about it before. As far as James being caught up in the MVP race, I think that's important to James. But I just saw a quote where he talked about his resting's not an option, that he wants to get healthy and he wants to get this team to the playoffs. And that his job is to go out there and get his team involved and get W's. And, I mean, that's not MVP talk. That's talking about getting into the playoffs and trying to get some wins. So, I think he's concerned about it. I think the Rockets are too. But I think you're being naive if you don't think this team doesn't want to win a championship.
All right, so let's see where we start. First and foremost, and I agree with you, but here's the thing. So he says Pat Beverley doesn't belong in the NBA. Well, there's a reason why. He has a $6 million a year contract for multiple years. There's also another reason why Cleveland wanted to trade for him and was willing to give up one of their two rotational swingmen to get him. That means he's good enough to be in the NBA in itself, simply because teams want him and they appreciate him. And it's not just defense. As Barry mentioned, there are intangibles as well. Also, when you factor in the fact that if you go back and look, because everybody's comparing, because they are talking MVP and they're talking about Oklahoma City and the Rockets games, go back and look at, I believe it was the first Oklahoma City game in Oklahoma against the Rockets, and go back and look at the final possession when they gave the ball to Russell Westbrook, and go look at the ball on-ball defense Pat Beverley played one-on-one with Russell Westbrook to where he didn't even get a shot off.
Yep. That's the ones I was referencing.
Tell me he can't defend.
Yeah.
Tell me he doesn't belong. Now, and when you go back and you research and you say, hey, guess what? He's never made a full first-team all-defense. Well, you know what? It's a prideful thing. As much as James Harden wants to win an MVP, Pat Beverley knows he's never going to win an MVP. He'd like to be first-team defense. He'd like to be recognized as such. So what's the greatest way to do that? Make a statement or two about the fact that he believes in himself enough to say he should be first-team defense. There is nothing wrong with that because, look, you can't get a brass section if you can't blow your own horn every now and then. And he knows how the NBA works. If he believes, other people will jump on that bandwagon before you know it. People are writing columns. They're on social media. They're saying, you see Pat Beverley's defense? He belongs. Now, Granato was on this kick that the Rockets are more focused on Harden winning an MVP than winning a championship. I agree with you that in the locker room, that team is no doubt focused on winning and going as far as they can go.
Yeah.
I think that from an organizational standpoint, I think they focus a lot of time advertising and worrying about and tweeting about the MVP. But I think with the third best record in the West, yes, that they could probably focus a little bit more of their efforts on, hey, let's back this team. Let's do what we need to do because this team has the firepower to win it all. Whether that, you know, whether everybody believes that or not doesn't matter. You got a team that's – when you're the top four seeds in either conference, you got a shot. So I think from that perspective, Damon, I can see where you're coming from in terms of the hype. But I think James will tell you as much as anybody, though it would be great to win the MVP. There's no guy in this league that would put anything in on top of winning an NBA title if they're, you know, right-minded. And I think that all the Rockets want to win a ring.
This is why I love sports talk radio because, you know, if you come on here and you're critical of the Rockets, then you get texts and tweets from people saying that you're hating on the Rockets. And then if you come on here and you're supporting, you know, somebody like Pat Beverly and just saying that, you know, you're wrong about his assessment of not being able to play defense and not belonging and all that, now you're being a homer. Bro, like, it's a no-win situation sometimes.
It's a catch-22 and then.
But, I mean, just understand that, you know, both Joel and I have been critical, and Nick, have been critical of the Rockets when it's warranted. But to come on here and say that Pat Beverly doesn't belong in the NBA is just ludicrous. I mean, the guy won the skills competition. I'm just kidding. All right.
Well, and just to wrap it all up, too, to say that it's not where you came from. Look, not many people – you talk about survival. Not many – look, you look at the mortality rate in the city of Chicago, and then you look at the worst neighborhoods where Pat's from. You can say all you want, but Pat had a really tough upbringing, and you have to be fairly tough to come out of there alive – and successful, and I think, look, if this was a boxing or an MMA competition, then we'd be worried about how well he's going to throw dukes on a nightly basis. But in terms of toughness, D'Antoni said it during the season. You hit it right on the head. We know that the head of the snake and the straw that stirs the drink is James Harden. But in terms of the heart and the pulse of that team, starts with Pat Beverly.
Yeah.
Simple. All right, Nick, we've got Emron wants to get in here, right? What's up?
How are my favorite Barnyard Outlaws doing today?
We're looking for the Red Solo Cup, man.
Hey, man, I was going to chime in on the parenting thing, but after I heard David's call, I was going to say a few things. Number one is, like, well, you guys covered most of the points that I was going to make, especially with that Oklahoma game, that last possession against Russell Westbrook.
Yep.
I mean, single-handedly won the game. Beverly is literally, he has the heart. Out of anything else, he has the heart. This guy, whenever he's on the court, he pours his whole heart out in that game. And that, to me, that says a lot about his toughness. So if anybody's trying to talk down to my Rockets, I mean, I take that a little personally. So that was something I wanted to get off my chest. And about the parenting thing, I heard, Nick, I think you mentioned about how kids nowadays, you know, they threat the parents that they're going to call the, what are they called? Man, head just went blank.
My last name is
CPS?
The Child Protective Services.
Yep. Yeah.
I will tell you a story from my life when I was a kid. I tried that on my dad once.
Once.
Now, to give you a little background, my dad is a South Asian immigrant, and he believes in disciplining his kids by beating them. And that's how I was raised.
Nice. And that's lovely.
When I said that I will call the Child Protective Services on you, his reply to that was, and this is me imitating him, go ahead, here is the phone. I know it will take them some time to get here, and within that time, you haven't had the beating that I've given you so far that you will have right now.
Appreciate the call, Emory, man. Thanks for calling. I like that he had the rockers back, but I really liked that he did the impression of his dad.
He had the accent.
And he's not the only one that said that. There were other people that texted the show and said that somebody said that, yeah, I threatened to call CPS, and my dad said, it's going to take them 5 minutes to get here. You think you'll be alive by that time? You think you'll live through this ass-whooping you're going
to
catch?
I'm not going to lie. I used the line. I didn't say Child Protective Service. I said, I'll report you one time to my mom. And my mom said, that's fine. So in the meantime, pack up all your crap and put it on the curb and wait for them to get here. Because you're not living here anymore.
Ouch.
And that made you think about it, too, without having to threaten any violence.
All right, guys, listen up. If you're trying to sell your home and you need to do so quickly, the folks over at Gulf State Home Buyers are saying, no problem, we'll buy it from you and we'll make you a cash offer. Look, maybe you're trying to get out from under the house because you're being held up by back taxes, delinquent HOA dues, divorce, bankruptcy, foreclosure. Maybe you lost your job. But you need to get that cash. You need to get it quick. Give the folks at Gulf State Home Buyers a call, 281-717-6100, and let them help you. They'll make you a cash offer. They handle all the paperwork from beginning of the process and all the way through the closing. And all you do is sit back and relax, man. They got a team of professionals on staff. They've got attorneys, title companies. They're going to show you a stress-free way to sell your home. 281-717-6100. When you call them, man, they're going to help you figure out what situation you're in. If you've got title issues or you just need a quick close, they're there for you. They're ready to answer your questions. But you got to call them. Gulf State Home Buyers, 281-717-6100, or visit them on the web, gulfstatehomebuyers.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is a renterswarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the Golf Club of Houston for the Shell Houston Open, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel and Barry from the beautiful palatial deck outside the 17th green at the Shell Houston Open on a glorious day in Houston, Texas. We are at the Craft Beer Corner if you want to stop in, say hi if you're coming out to the tournament. Otherwise, you can hit us up like you normally do. The HR&P listener line is lightning hot today. It's like all systems go. The lights are on. People are calling on a regular basis. It's fantastic.
Speaking of hot.
You are.
I am burning up. My ass is sweating now.
The swamp
and it's going numb. This is the is there a medical tent around here? I'm gonna need to lay down.
So the swamp monster has not only taken over your pants, but he's bitten because it's numb.
Like this, I'm not cut out for this roughing it on the radio. I need a comfy chair and some AC.
Welcome to Indoor Golf with Barry Laminack.
My Lord. Can we do like some sort of putt-putt thing where it's just indoors and a clown? And I'm in a nice little – maybe I need like a Rascal scooter to get back to the car or something. Good Lord.
And then here we have the people that say they're loyal listeners to the show, and we love those people.
Yeah.
But they even witnessed firsthand a gentleman that, because he's a golfer, gave up his bottle of sun so that you could get some protection. And you – because if you know the show, because of hygiene, you were a little apprehensive.
I was skeptical.
Yeah, skeptical. That's a good word.
Yeah.
So she comes back and says, Barry, you do know there's a community sunscreen jug on the corner over there.
Yeah.
And it's like a big mayo jar with a pump. You should go use that. And I'm thinking, man.
So that every sir and madam that has gone to the restroom and not washed their hands can use that pump, and then I can go use it. And lose my ever-loving mind. No, I'm good.
I'm looking at her going, you're not the loyal listener you say you are.
I'd rather burn up alive.
You knew he would not do that.
I would rather burn up alive than to go touch the top of that pump right now. Ugh.
Yeah, let's keep your hands off the pump.
I'll give you $5 if you go lick the top of that pump.
I'll pass. But, gee, what a financial gain. What a financial gain for me.
Okay, $6.
HR&P listener line that we mentioned is filling up, as we also mentioned. That means a guy like the G-Man waiting on hold. G-Man, what's up?
What's going on, Joe, Barry? I want to get in, man, on both things, on the parenting thing as well as the Rockets with the guy I was talking about. He don't belong in the NBA. Now, as far as the parenting is concerned, you know, being a 50-year-old black male, when I was coming up, wasn't nothing like a good ass whooping. You know, I got mine whipped, and you know, I couldn't fall out in the middle of the store, you know, on the floor, and you know, and kick and scream and everything like that, because my mama would drag my ass out of the store. She would, first of all, she would whoop me in the store, and then I would get a whooping from my father when I got home. You know, so as far as that's concerned, you know, I blame all that on the court system. You know, they've made wussies out of our children, you know. But I mean, my children, I instilled the fear of God and whoopings on them from a young age, so I don't have to really deal with that right now, you know, because I mean, I didn't care about calling CPS or how my neighbors judge me or, you know, all that, because they don't have to deal with them, you know, as they come up, as they get older, or when they the system puts them in jail, you know, and they start making that legal money, slavery money off of them and stuff like that. Now, as far as Pat Beverly is concerned, man, that guy who was on there earlier, he's just a straight-up hater. You know, Pat Beverly is one of the premier defenders in the NBA. You know, and like you said, his contract proves it. They wouldn't want to trade for him if he wasn't, you know. So there you have it.
G-Man, I got a quick question before we got to let you go, because we got other callers. But was the worst thing you ever got whooped with? What was the worst thing you ever got whooped with?
The worst thing I ever got whooped with was a Hot Wheels racing track fresh out of the bathroom.
Oh, yeah, the orange ones. Yes, sir, the orange ones. I know them.
Racing track. I was getting out of the bathtub, and I had mouthed off to my mom. And when I got out of the bathtub, she whooped my ass with that racing track, man, and...
Got that naked, wet Hot Wheels racing
gas
open. That sucks, man.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate the call, G, man. Thanks for the call, man.
No, that's a great call.
That is
hilarious. Fantastic. What was the worst thing you ever got whooped by?
You know, my dad was strictly – my mom would always just, you know, swat me with her hands. She never – you know, I never got, like, whoopings. I would always get, like, the swat. Like, she would grit her teeth. She would be the one, like, in the store. She would start talking to you through her teeth and spitting. Yeah. So she's spitting in her face. And then she would grab your hand – and pull it up in the air so you couldn't cover your butt, and then just swat you right there. But my dad, he believed in a whooping, like belt. Like, so you had to go get the belt, which all I ever did was I got whooped with the belt, but he always made me go get it. He'd be like, you know what you did, now go get the belt. And you had to go pick the belt out. And so I would try to, like, bring back the robe belt, the soft sash that goes to his robe. Those hurt, too.
That's actually very clever. I'll give you credit for that.
Those hurt, too. But,
That was the official walk of shame back in the day. Go get the belt.
Go pick the belt out that you want me to whoop your ass with. It's like, whew.
Now, I don't want to paint a bad picture of my mom, because she's not with us anymore either, but she can't defend herself. But my mom was tough that way. So, like, if you were doing it in the store, she said, well, go ahead and get it out of your system now, because you're going to cry a whole hell of a lot louder when I get you out in the parking lot, when I give you one like you deserve for embarrassing me in this store. But I've said this, but a wooden spoon. Once I got the wooden spoon once across my butt cheeks, I was the element of threatening with it was enough for me. Yeah. I didn't want that in that outline of that spoon on my cheek
hell
anymore.
No. Yeah, a wooden spoon. Man, my dad and stepmom for my little sister, they used to use switches. But they wouldn't go get a switch from the tree. Do you remember those, you know, those wood sticks that they would tie like a balloon on the end of?
Sure,
it's real long, real thin.
Like a bamboo but thin, yeah.
Yeah. They would have those over every door in the house. So you know, like the door casing?
Yeah.
Got that little lip. They just planted those switches over her bedroom door, the kitchen, there's the bat. Like, they were, you could literally walk anywhere in the house, and if you got smart, they just reach up and grab one of those and just start whooping ass. It was, oh.
Well, and you know, as a kid, I'll take that stick rather than take something wider. No, you won't.
Hell
no. That's like a laser beam hitting your butt cheek.
Little, and they're flexible?
Yes, sir.
Ooh, no.
Got another caller on the line. John, are you there?
Hey, thanks for having my call, guys. I do not enjoy the visual that Swamp gave me. Please, never again with that. But Patrick Beverly is a G. His biggest thing to me is Russell Westbrook. We keep him on the team because he shuts Russell Westbrook down. I hope he tears his meniscus again. I hate the Thunder. So that's all I have to say about Patrick Beverly. But I really want to talk about the resting. I think that it's ridiculous. I think Popovich has done this for 10 years. He has done this for so long, and it's why they are the dynasty that they are. And if Michael had been in as many finals as LeBron had, his body would have taken a toll, too. We saw it with Kobe. I mean, maybe if Kobe had rested a couple of games whenever he was having his run back in the 2000s, maybe his body wouldn't have broken down the way that it did at the end. I think that the schedule is tough. I think that if you're not LeBron's age and you don't have as much wear and tear on your body, I think Kyrie and Steph Curry sitting is a little eh. But for LeBron, I get it. That's why kids are coming out to Cavaliers games. But this guy has a business to think of, and he's about winning finals, not Eastern Conference finals, the finals. He knows he's going to get to the finals, and he knows he has to get himself there. I just don't see a problem with it. I think that we're just babies. And
oh, I spent my money on this. I wanted to see LeBron.
We're just babies. We're just an entire nation of babies, as y'all are talking about, but nobody can be parented anymore. Love you guys. Thank you.
John, appreciate the call, man. We've got a lot of people doing voice impersonations today. I like that. That's pretty good.
I don't know that I would go as far as to wish a meniscus tear anyone. That's
a bit much.
But I did like the impression of the baby. That did sound like several kids that I've heard.
I'm not going to lie. I had the berry made out of food the other day, and I was plucking at its ACLs, but it didn't work. What? Seen that commercial?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
with the voodoo doll of food.
Yes.
Yeah. No, that's a little bit harsh asking for a torn meniscus from Westbrook again. You can beat them. You don't need to do that. You can still beat them. Right now I want to tell you about Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. It's a fantastic program. It's run by you, the people of Houston, Texas, for the kids of Houston, Texas. They're looking to get a second chance at an education in the Houston area, and you can help. If you're looking around your garage, your field out back, somewhere where you know that there's some rust and dust collecting on a car, whether it's working or not, or a trailer or a boat or a motorcycle, and you want to get rid of it. You've been looking to try and take an ad out in the paper, but you just don't have the time. You don't get around to it. All you got to do is get in touch with Cars for Kids. They do the rest. It's 713-225-4226 or online, HoustonCarsForKids.com. Tell them what you got. Tell them where you live. They come out. They tow it away. They do the paperwork. You get a tax deduction. And then the magic starts to happen. They take what you give them. They turn it into a resource in which they are able to provide for kids hot meals, bus fare, book money, eyeglasses, all the resources that kids need so that they don't have distractions when they're trying to get an education. It's a beautiful program. It's the Houston Cans Cars for Kids program. Like I said, give them a call, 713-225-4226, HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the top, you make a donation, you get a $50 gift card as well. So it's the gifts that keep on giving. As always, right off the car, not the kid.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Golf Club of Houston for the Shell Houston Open. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
However. Hey, it's Joel and Barry from the palatial deckside location behind the 17th green at the Shell Houston Open. Nick back at headquarters holding down the fort. A plethora of good people sitting around us enjoying golf action over our shoulder on a big screen TV. And you guys participating like you should and normally do on a good show on a Thursday. Barry, you're checking the text messages. What do you got?
Yeah, first of all, a couple people are hating on me because I was complaining that I'm hot. They're like, bro, we work out here 5 days a week and you want sympathy from us. You're not getting any sympathy. I know. Dude, I'm a delicate flower. I get it. Now, I used to be a carpenter and painter, and I'll tell you what, when I got into IT in 1998, that's what I used to do. The reason I got into IT is because I used to do tar roofs in Houston in August.
That's like hell on earth.
I was doing a tar roof middle of August, and in my mind I was like, yeah, I'm done with this. I'm going to get an inside job. So I get it. I mean, I've been there. I've done it. I just, you know, when you don't get those calluses anymore, your hands stay soft, and I'm soft. I'm soft.
I don't think we should get into how you got those calluses.
A couple of people were sitting in the different stuff that they got whooped with. Somebody said his pawpaw used to hit him with his cane. One time he knocked the blades off the ceiling fan from whooping so much ass. That's a wind up.
Wind up right there.
Yeah, that's John Rahm kind of backswing right there.
Or John Daly.
My mom broke the wooden spoon on my ass one time. That sucked. Broke it. Yep. That's pretty bad. Plastic wand from the mini blinds. That's getting creative right there. That's getting creative.
Yeah.
I mouthed off in the middle of Sabine Lake and took an old fishing rod across the ass.
That would hurt.
Yeah, yeah. That would hurt. I got my ass whooped with a boat oar. God.
Got a big ass.
I forged my progress report, and my mom went to town. By the way, she was a softball player. Damn. Your mom got the boat oar? That's gangster.
Something tells me she wasn't slapping a single the other way. She was going for the fences with that swing.
That is gangster.
Wow. Hey, we want to give a special shout-out to the Summer Creek softball parents. They are taking great care of us here at the Craft Beer Corner.
Well, what?
They are fantastic. I am told now by nonpartisan people that it is the best school district around, Summer Creek. So
where is Summer Creek? Do we know where it is? Where is Summer Creek?
It happens between May and August.
She said down the road. So it's close to this club. Okay. All right, very good. Summer Creek softball.
There you go.
In the house.
What is it also called? What's the subdivision or the community? Fall Creek. There you go. Fall Creek. I always remember Fall Creek. Okay.
All right.
All right. We've got calls that are still waiting that want to still get in on the HRNP listener line. So without further ado, let's get to Chris. He wants to talk about some things. What's up?
All right. So my mom was 5'2", and I'm 6'6". I was probably 6 foot. 6'2" when I was in senior in high school. There wasn't any whooping. She would just pick up whatever was handy and throw it at me. And the craziest place I ever got something thrown at me was at a high school basketball game.
What?
A little pushing and shoving, and my mom took her shoe off and threw it at me. I was on the court.
During the game?
In the middle of a high school basketball game.
Bro, that's embarrassing
high school.
As hell. That's embarrassing as hell, dude.
I mean, she missed. She was probably a good 50, 60 feet away. She missed, but she wouldn't let anybody else bring it back to her.
Oh, no. That's so embarrassing.
Hey, Chris, how tall was the FedEx guy or the mailman?
The mailman, I believe he was a black woman.
So that would mean he wouldn't be a man. So how tall is your dad?
6'2". I'm the anomaly. I'm 6'6" at the moment. All of my brothers are like right at 6'1", 6'2". I'm the black sheep in the family.
Wow, I'd have thought they'd have told you you were adopted.
No, they never informed me. I'm still waiting on that
you,
call.
Wow, you lucked out, though. You got yourself some height. That's a good deal. And on the basketball court, that means you're not one of those guys that waste it. You're that tall and you don't play.
No. I enjoyed it as often as I could.
Good for you, man. We appreciate the call. Don't be a stranger.
All right, guys. Yeah. Y'all have a good day.
You too, man. Thanks for the call.
I still remember those. That was awesome, though. The racetracks. For your Matchbox car or Hot Wheels. The Hot Wheels, those orange ones where they had the little like red thing that connected them. Man, I'll tell you what. You could get, even when we were kids and we'd do it to each other, it started out like you were just like, jousting with them.
Uh-huh.
Boy, if someone wound up and smacked you anywhere with those things, that's going to leave a mark and that's going to sting a little bit.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Nick, what was the worst thing you ever got whooped with?
Just really, it never came from my parents. It came from a teacher with a wooden paddle. That was the worst beating I've ever gotten.
From a teacher?
Yeah.
That's the one that never made sense to me. And I had friends that went to Catholic school and they said you'd get rulers on the back of the knuckles.
Yeah, I mean, my dad never hit me, dude. Like, my dad never hit me. My mom did, but it didn't really, it wasn't that bad. She didn't use anything. She just used her hand. The teacher with the paddle, that was probably the worst.
On what?
My behind. It was like kindergarten or first grade, yeah.
Nowadays, your parents would have to sign some permission slip that allows a teacher to, and it still wouldn't be allowed. God, I can't even imagine that you got a whooping from a teacher at school.
Yeah, my dad sent that note to school.
That's right, you said that.
Yeah.
That's crazy,
feel free to whoop my son's ass if he acts up. Yeah, that was a thing back in the day. You don't get that now.
No.
And you get people crying because the dad's on TV with a sign that said, you should have got your grades up and you'd have been here. But
we're not. We haven't wussified society.
Oh, yet. No, not at all.
No, of course not. Johnny, you want to get there? Johnny, you want to talk about Myles Garrett? Okay, bring it.
First of all, I almost got hit with the chanclas.
you said that too, Brian. Those are multifunctional.
Those are, if you don't know chanclas, that's
like a flip-flop,
that's Spanish
right?
for flip-flop. Yeah. That's correct.
But, I wanted to talk about Myles Garrett. I see all these mock drafts coming up, and I don't see him in the first round going anywhere. And I see the Browns picking a wide receiver from Texas A&M or a quarterback, and I don't see Myles Garrett anywhere in the first round. If he falls that far back, do you think the Cowboys have a chance?
No, Myles Garrett's going number one,
bro. He ain't going anywhere but one.
Yeah, the Browns are taking him with that first pick overall.
Yeah, I don't know if you're looking at the fake news mock draft that just came out, it might give you some bad information. But every mock draft, anywhere you look and anybody you talk to, Myles Garrett's going number one to the Browns.
Well, even Mel Kiper has the Browns picking a quarterback from
two number ones. They have 1 and 12. And 1 is Myles Garrett. 12 is where they might take a quarterback.
Yeah, they've got two picks. Yeah.
Okay, thanks, 12, guys.
Right? Yeah. All right, appreciate the call, man. Don't be a stranger. Thanks, Johnny.
Yeah, and did you know Myles Garrett did a pro day at A&M, even though he didn't have to?
Yeah.
And improved on his 40 time at doing it. He ran a 4.64
really?
At the combine and ran an unofficial 4.61 at the A&M pro day.
Everybody I've talked to said the more they see that guy work out and see him on the field, they think he has the tools to be special.
I've said the opposite the
really?
Whole time. Watched him at A&M all the time, and I just felt like he had a lot of quit in him on certain games certain downs and stuff like that. He just looked like he took plays off. I mean, similar to Clowney. Now Clowney's turning around,
sure.
So I don't know. I have questions about Garrett. I'm not saying he's not the number one pick. I just don't know long term if he's going to be that superstar, you know what I mean, that people expect.
That's interesting.
But
well, and I was the opposite when JJ came out. I watched every down the guy played, and I heard people say he was going to be a situational pass rusher. And I said, with his ticker, he's going to be on the field. I didn't say he was going to be special, but I thought he could be pretty damn good. But I'm obviously not predicting where he would end up turning out, but thank God he did it for the Texans.
Yeah.
All right, Barry and I are here at the Shell Houston Open, having a good old time. Nice, lots of sunshine, nice breeze. Join us behind the 17th green where the craft beer corner is, and we'll be hanging out in front of the big screen TV and out here till 4. Nick back at headquarters. But if you want to join us, the calls have been going through just super. So please feel free to call or text 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter at PacManJoel with a K, at TheProducerNick, and at BarryIsFunny. We're here till 4 with the usual suspects, and this is ESPN 97.5.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.